Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just a little bit of a reminder for you guys that'll be tooling around town and interested in what we have on the agenda for today. But Eric Edholm, the NFL expert, is going to be joining us at 2:30. We've got plenty to talk about with him as well, because we got everything from the index card in the Cowboys-Raiders game to the end of the Patriots-Steelers game.
Oh, I'm hot about that one.
To the rumors of what I had mentioned, that Marvin Lewis will be stepping away at the end of the year in Cincinnati. To all the playoff possibilities. So plenty to talk about with Eric. And I saw what you tweeted, and I knew you weren't referring to me, but I did want to get your thoughts breaking down that Patriots Steelers game, because I have some too. And I mean, that was just bizarre to me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, well, let's get Scott, because he's been holding, and then we'll jump back into that.
Good call. Yeah, let's get Scott, because he was patiently waiting through the Charlie half hour to get into the light problem issue, and then we'll get back to that. Scott, what's up?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about your electrical problem with your lights, because I am an electrician.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
And the reason you're blowing that first strand is because you have a 5-amp or 7-amp fuse in those lights, and the other strands are drawing more energy than that, so you can't plug in more than 3 together. Now, if you have that plugged into a circuit that's in your house, then that's going to affect it as well, because anything on that circuit inside the house, it's not a dedicated circuit, that's also drawing energy.
That's great stuff. Yeah, it's for an outside circuit. It's just for stuff on the outside of the house. It's the outlet right by my front door.
Now, Scott, can he add a different – do you know if they make the – because I know somebody was saying the first light is the fuse on the strand. Can he put a different light in there to maybe up what the fuse would allow? Or is it just not going to happen? Because he's got like 12 of them plugged into one.
That's not going to happen. But what you do is you get a surge protector or a device that will allow you to pull multiple circuits off it, which would just be a power strip. And you plug it into several different places. Just don't put more than 3 strands on one lighting row.
I'm using a power strip for all of them.
But what he's saying is you should have, if you've got 6 spots on that strip, you should have 6 extension cords with 3 strands hanging off of each. Is that correct, Scott?
That's correct.
Okay.
Got it. Scott, appreciate the knowledge, man. Very helpful. And I knew that our intelligent listeners would come to the rescue. That's always good stuff.
It is good stuff, man.
I'll be working on that. Hopefully not tonight.
I won't. I am
done. It's raining outside. I ain't doing it tonight.
I wrapped presents. I've made this comment before, but don't get angry. I tell you what, it looks like I paid Michael J. Fox to wrap my presents. They're so bad. I'm not good at this.
Oh, I'm not either.
It looks like I kicked her presents across the house when I was done with them.
Yeah, mine's look like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, wrapped, that's what I'm saying.
Wrapped. Yeah, sometimes I'm hit and miss. Like sometimes I'll have like 3 bad ones and I have one like decently wrapped.
You're all proud of it.
And then everything else.
I watched my mom for years, how she folded down the corners and doubled this to tape that and do this. I'm like, that looks easy. I can't do it.
Dude, I YouTubed it. And now I will say this, it has to do with the quality of the paper as well. Because I decided, like Nora, when she wrapped all my presents while I was in Corpus, I get back and they're beautiful. It's just this real brown, it's just a brown paper, like a tannish brown, but she puts a bow on it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to switch it up. And I grabbed some green paper yesterday to wrap her presents. And it was like, I might as well have been using like tissue paper or toilet paper. It was so thin and it was ripping. And
don't blame your bad wrapping skills on the wrapping paper.
So then I got the thicker brown paper that she used on mine. Night and day difference. Really. Like, it holds up. It was weird. But even then, let's be real, it went from a negative 7 out of 100 to a 2. Yeah, it was. I still suck at it. Yeah, I just don't. Too. I don't have the patience to wrap presents.
I'm with you on all fronts. And then now, like, they got the one phone company is doing the commercials about how bad he raps at the mall wrapping, and the little miniature Ken Jeong looking kid comes up and is like,
"Wow,
he looks like Ken Jeong. He looks like him, the comedian or whatever, the actor." And he looks at him like, "Did you just give me this badly wrapped, and we paid for this?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "That would be me. I can't rap. I just can't.
I can't do it either." One other thing I wanted to mention before we move on. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a little pissed off at the fantasy league that I'm in. Tell me if you've ever heard this.
I know you're going with it.
In the history of fantasy football. So I joined this league. I wasn't in a pay league. I wasn't going to do a pay league. And then Houston Sports and stuff. And Shannon Parker's like, let's get the – she's part owner, I guess. But she's like, let's get a league for HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. I was like, all right, I'll pay because I'll beat all you guys because y'all have no clue what you're doing. And
they're
lo
all
and
like
behold, pretty much. So lo and behold, I come in second place. I whoop this dude's ass by 7-8 points in the playoffs, which is difficult because you're playing the best of the best, and that's a getting close to a 10-point win in the playoffs is a good deal. And then I look this week like, okay, I guess I'm playing the winner from the other bracket for the championship, which I did think it was kind of weird that the playoffs was only 2 weeks, but hey, whatever. And it seemed like it started a little early. And then I look, and I'm playing the same dude again. So the way that they do the playoffs in this league, the way that they set it up, was it's not just win and you move on. You have to win 2 weeks in a row, plus it's a cumulative score. Who does that?
That's a weird rule. I've never seen that.
So all of them are like it. Now, our two usual suspect leagues are like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You guys wouldn't know because you're not in it.
Is that default for ESPN now?
Yeah.
I've never played fantasy football where you didn't win that week and move on to the next round of the playoffs.
So
I've never
did you just start this year.
So
I have no idea.
It started to be a thing last year, but now I think it's prevalent in all leagues. But I'll tell you this, and I'm gonna get zapped by it because I beat him last week. The guy I'm playing in the playoffs. But
me
Todd,
too.
Todd Gurley had 42 points yesterday for him, and suddenly I'm losing with Devontae Freeman needing like 24 to win.
That's
tonight.
Exactly what happened to me. So last week, and this is my pay league, which is why it pisses me off. So last week I beat this dude 109.5 to 104. So I'm like, sweet, I moved on. I'm going to the finals. I'm gonna win this league. I'm gonna get paid. And then I look up and I'm playing this dude again. And I see down that it says total points, week 14, week 15, total points. I'm like, you've got to be bleeping me. This is not happening. He's got Todd Gurley, Christian McCaffrey, and Michael Crabtree. He has scored 136 points this week, and he still has Matt Ryan going tonight.
Oh, no.
And I've got 96 points, which is a damn respectable total for a week without Julio Jones. He's going tonight as well. There's no way I'm catching this dude. Because even if Julio Jones scores 1,000 touchdowns, Matt Ryan's going to also get 1,000 touchdowns for throwing them to him.
Yep.
So I am so pissed because then I look over. Now, keep in mind, I scored 96 points this week, right? Mm-hmm. I look over. Neither one of the teams in the other bracket scored more than 92 points. So I would have won the league. Oh, I'm so mad. So pissed.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
It's the stupidest thing. I'm not doing this the next year. I'm not playing fantasy. I'm over. I'm not doing it anymore. This cost me money. Shannon Parker's sold me out. You owe me money, Shannon.
I'll tell you this. The only thing
it's crap.
I like when you pay because then it forces me to pay attention. But like, even now, if I was in a pay league, I'd like you. I'd be really upset. But because we're just doing this for bragging rights, I'm like, I'm gonna lose. And normally, I'm not like that. You guys know me. I'm pretty competitive.
Yeah, very.
But I'm
competitive.
Like, I want to win. But if I don't, I'm like, I didn't lose anything.
I was so mad.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
Like, my wife was like, oh, get over it. I'm like, no, I paid $50 for that league. I was going to win a lot of money. But this stupid-ass rule that they have, I would have much rather have been three weeks knowing that. And then if I would have got bounced in week one, eh. But knowing I won a week in the playoffs and I'm not going to advance... Oh,
$50 league, that's a decent payout. I'd be pissed too.
Yeah, that ain't right. If I would have known that going in, I would have either said, I'm not playing this league or changed the way the playoffs work because that's dumb. 2 weeks, a cumulative score?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's something that's new, that's like set by default, and then the commissioner can kind of go in there and change. I'm assuming. I don't know.
That's why must I liked. Be. We always used a site, but our commissioner had the final veto or the could make the rules. So then we did the playoffs our way. So, yeah, I guess I was used to that more.
Somebody, several people now on Twitter, Damian and BK Knight 321 are all like, yeah, same thing. Got screwed in my league because of it. It must be some new default way that ESPN does it. Well, go to hell, ESPN.
Yeah, it's
jerks.
Well, it's on the commissioner now. I mean, it's on the commissioner to change that rule. I mean, if you're the commission, you're allowed to able to change it.
I don't know about going to hell, ESPN, but I know that the guy that's running the joint is going to rehab. Just throwing that out there, too. We can talk about that at some point, too. We got plenty more to get to, and we've got Eric at home at 2:30, so we can talk all this NFL that's coming out of this weekend's action. And, of course, with the playoffs on the horizon, always good to get his thoughts on that. And, of course, your Houston Texans. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's the usual suspects back with a whole lot more on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the usual suspects, one segment before Eric Edholm joins us to talk a lot more NFL, but we started the last segment by trying to get into, and then we had to make sure we did some housekeeping, but we wanted to get into that Patriots-Steelers game.
Before we do, I want to point out my mom, despite you trying to sully her reputation last week on the air, still was the bigger person, look past that. And made you guys a little Christmas gift care package.
Let's reset that. What did he say about your mom?
Yeah, he tried to imply she was a whore.
Never tried to imply anything of the such.
That's what
I
did.
Said she once that was on the performance team for the Rockets.
No.
Reiterating the situation.
Yeah, I mean, we can go back and run the audio. It's right there for everyone and forever.
Only because you made it.
But yeah, she was like, hey, I told her I don't want any, because she gets into this weird thing where she bakes around Christmas. I don't know. I guess it's a thing.
Yeah.
But she makes all kind of candy. And I will say this, though. If you like chocolate and peanuts, this thing she makes where I think she just makes up a thing of chocolate, pours peanuts in it, and then lets it harden and stuff. And
that's what's in there right now?
I don't know. I think so.
I think I'm going to grab it right
look,
now.
Look. See? Look. Now you want it.
Are both of those mine, or do I have to split it with
Joel? No, you have to split it. One's for you, one's for Joel. Yeah, look at you being greedy. But yeah, she was like, I made some, I got a present for the usual suspects. I was like, wait a minute.
Very nice of her to do that. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Nick wants both of them.
I'm fat, so don't make me.
Because I'm pretty sure they're good.
Well, we'll see. You've never seen her kitchen, so you don't know.
Wash your hands, Nick.
Could be gross. I'm just kidding. It's not.
You want to get to your Patriots Steelers?
Yeah. What did you guys think about it? Are you with the way that it went down? Are you good with it?
I mean, I was kind of getting into a little Twitter battle with somebody about it. You're talking in terms of the call, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rule is you got to maintain possession. From what I saw, I felt like the ball did touch the ground.
Yep.
He's not the first person that's been screwed by this call. Tyler was having, I was having a discussion with producer Tyler. He tends to think that, it didn't. He thinks it should have been a touchdown. I think why would the ball... Why would his hand move if the ball didn't touch the ground like that? That's my assumption. Do I see from the replay that the ball touched the ground? It's kind of hard to tell. Maybe you can kind of see that his fingers were under the ball. But if that's the rule, that's the rule. I think Calvin Johnson's in 2010 was way more egregious.
Yeah. Well, you got that one. You got Dez Bryant,
catch, no catch
in the playoff game against Green Bay. Yeah. You've got – and again, here's the thing. I would have been okay with, and it, because of another call in another game yesterday, happened to be for Carolina against Green Bay, where literally Mike Pereira had to talk about a guy's cheek and cheeks.
His butt cheek?
His butt cheeks, yeah. And his right cheek versus his left cheek and where it landed. It was in the back of the end zone. And the receiver's name is Bird. And he caught it. He juggled it. And when he landed ass first.
So this is the one knee equals 2 feet thing.
So, again, it's something like that. So they were saying so one cheek could also equal two feet.
Yeah.
But it looked like his cheek was hitting the white part of the back of the end zone as well. So I just wish they'd get clarification to the point where we could get the interpretation right every time. Because I think it's referee's interpretation. I would have been okay yesterday if they ruled it at the one-yard line. Because if you use what they're talking about, because everybody's saying when you break the plane and you got to come down. My whole thing was one knee equals 2 feet. The knee hit, he gathered the football in, and you could just rule him down on the one-yard line. But the fact of the matter is, because of the way the rule is stated, you really can't take it out on the officials. It's the rules. And the rules state you have to have possession of the football. But I will say they ruled it a catch and a touchdown, and I can't tell you that he didn't have a hand under the ball at all times. You can land on a football, and it can move without hitting the ground, just from gravity and pressure and all the things and all the force of the weight coming down on the ball. But I could not – no one gave me any replay that convinced me that there wasn't a possibility that his hand was under the ball at all times. So to me, I was like, okay, I hear what the rule is. I know that there's past precedence with these calls, but it's so frustrating to me because of the fact that there's a call, and I put it on Twitter this morning. Jordy Nelson catches the ball against Washington, and Kirk Cousins is mic'd up. And he literally catches it, both feet hit the ground, and then it slips out of his hands, goes out of the back of the end zone. They called it a touchdown, and Kirk Cousins referenced Calvin Johnson and referenced Dez Bryant and goes, so if those aren't catches, how's that a catch? And they kept it a touchdown.
Hmm.
So mine, from a consistency standpoint, that's what bothers me the
most. Here's the beef I have with it, all right? So he clearly catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the ball in both hands, to at which point he turns and makes a football move to extend the ball over the goal line. So at this point, it's beyond the fact that it's a catch because he's starting to make a football move, and he's extending. Once the ball breaks the plane of the goal line, it's a touchdown. So if he, so at that point, to me, play's dead. So the fact that the ball hits the ground and moves should be a moot point. He caught the ball. He turned and made a football move to extend the ball over the goal line. If a guy is running down the field on a breakaway, and he dives, just being, you know, whatever, celebrating, and he hits the ground and the ball comes loose, that's a touchdown. The reason is because the ball broke. Once the ball breaks the plane, that play is over if you're just, you know, a running back running down the field. So once he catches the ball and turns and makes that football move, he's essentially running. They screwed that
but
up
if his
to me.
Knee didn't
Here's
hit
to
the
Barry's
ground,
point.
It doesn't matter. It didn't, though.
But
he
Nick,
was making a football move.
Again, it's
if
weird
he
because it
fell
all
down. If he fell down, then when the ball moves, then he didn't. But he caught it and turned. That's a foot. I mean, he's making a move now. We're beyond the point of catch, no catch.
He's
extending
thing.
The ball.
All this stuff happened this weekend in the Green Bay game as well, which decided the game. Geronimo Allison of the Packers catches the ball, bang, bang on a slant, catches it. 2 feet barely down, but they said he turned to go upfield making a football move. Therefore, it was a fumble. Therefore, the ball was in
exactly.
play. So with that being said, and the league trying to cover this up because they know this is a big problem right now with how upset people are about this call, right in another game, same weekend, same day, everything, you can use Barry's point and say, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
He made a football move.
If he catches the ball and falls down and the ball hits the ground and pops loose, no catch. But he catches the ball and turns his body and extends the ball over the goal line. The point that he's extending the ball over the goal line, to me, is a football move. He's now completed
now,
the process
touched,
of the catch.
Was he touched on when the knee hit? Was there?
Yeah, he was being touched.
So then,
I'm pretty
then
sure.
My opinion, that if he's being touched, then the ball should be down
no,
where his
that's
knee
the
was
reason,
he hadn't
that's the reason why
it
he was able to extend it in the first place is because when his knee hit the ground, no one had touched him
okay,
at that point.
Okay, that's why I asked that.
Yeah, no one had touched him at that point. And that's the reason, I mean, that was my interpretation of the rule, was that the fact that his knee did hit the ground, that just breaking the plane is not okay, is not enough. Because you have to win the battle of the ground, and it specifically says that
that's
in the
so
rule
stupid.
Book.
I'm just saying, I mean, to me,
right?
It's dumb when
now if he didn't now if his now if he didn't hit if he if his knee didn't hit the ground, then he could have just broken the plane, and then it wouldn't have mattered if the ball touched the ground or not.
Oh, it does, though, because that's what they're saying. You still have to have the process of gathering it and then complete the catch, as they say, which means you cannot, even after hitting the ground, you have to maintain total control. That was the Dez Bryant thing.
Okay.
Because he ended up, because the other thing wasn't the Dez Bryant thing. Which I was at the game. It happened right in front of me, and I said it was a catch then. I'll say it now. But the thing was that he didn't go out of bounds. So he fumbled it a little bit going down, but ended up in the end zone with the ball in his hands in bounds, and it still wasn't a catch.
Mm, yeah.
And here's the other point I wanted to make when I was wrapping up mine, but just for you guys, for the reference of everybody that wants to make any kind of comments on this, it was ruled a touchdown on the field. If you don't have evidence that states differently, leave it.
You could see the ball move. That's no doubt. But again, to me, he made a catch. He caught the ball. He turns his body and extends the ball, and someone texts, oh, they don't use a quote football move, whatever. It doesn't matter. He caught the ball. He turned around. At that point, he's running. He's a runner. He's completed the catch, and he's extending the ball. He's now making a move. He's doing something to score the ball, just like on a sneak. Are you telling me that on a quarterback sneak, when he extends the ball over, as soon as that ball crosses that plane, it doesn't matter if the defender hits it. That's not a fumble. As soon as the nose of that ball crosses the front of the goal line, the play is over. It's a touchdown. That's exactly what should have happened in this case.
Can you tell me otherwise. That was a text message. Don't tell me that they don't use that term because they used it in the Carolina Green Bay game.
Exactly.
So there you have it. So we can continue to scrap about this after Eric Edholm joins us, but he's an NFL writer for Pro Football Weekly. So we've got plenty to get with him on, including that topic, the Texans, the playoffs, coaching carousels, lots of things going on in the NFL. A great time to have Eric back on the show.
Somebody texted the show and said, bro, you YouTube how to rap presents? I'm dead. Yeah. Don't make fun of me, sir.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
All right. So Aaron, Clarence, John, hang with us. We got a segment with Eric Edholm. We'll get to you guys right after that. So we appreciate your patience. We'll be back with a whole lot more. We're at the midway point. It is the Usual Suspects simulcasting today on 94.1 FM and 97.5 ESPN. No bad, but I reckon it ain't no how. No time for the biggies or the
hooskow. Get smart, get down with the power. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for the second half of the big show, as it's Nick, Barry, and Joel till 4, the Usual Suspects, as we have Barry for just one more before he gets a little holiday cheer early. We've got Eric Edholm on in this segment, as he is the resident NFL expert. We've got plenty to get to him about, including the Texans' O'Brien Rick Smith situation, and the fact that, by the way, I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but Jason LaComfora was the guy that broke the story yesterday that Bill O'Brien would not – that's who Bill O'Brien was referencing in his press conference this yesterday and today. Basically, the rumor started that he would not be back as Texans coach. So that's where the going.
Where he said, I'm not quitting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for you.
You and Charlie referenced that, so yeah.
Plenty of people chiming in, obviously, on whether it was a catch, no catch. And I think it's one of those ones where everyone's going to have an opinion, but I don't know. Mandy said, is so happy to have you guys back. I miss Barry and Nick. Chemistry is much better with y'all. Well, thanks, Mandy.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all.
Much appreciated. Somebody also said, I bet you Barry wouldn't eat anything Nick or Joel's mom sent.
I thought about that right away. Right off the top. I'm like, Nick is overzealous to get to that. And I'm like, if Barry's mom believes what Barry said, she's putting X-Lax in my brownies. Anyway.
So what she ended up doing is it was one tin of cookies, mm-hmm. and the other tin was half of the chocolate peanuts that I had mentioned and half peanut brittle. So you guys will have to split it all up.
Nick I'm not already, splitting.
He by the way, everything. The chocolate, Nick, is it good?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things, oh, so good. You got to get some.
You'll be pooping in an hour. All right, Eric Edholm's on the line. He's going to be joining us as we previewed. We've got plenty to get to with Eric, including the demise of the Green Bay Packers. But more importantly, Eric, we've got lots of stuff going on right now in Houston, Texas. The rumors started surfacing yesterday about Bill O'Brien's future as well as general manager Rick Smith. Just wondering what you might have heard on the situation with the Texans.
Yeah, I had written a kind of a coach's hot seat thing. I guess that would have been a week ago. And, you know, it was one of those things I started writing, and I had a list of about five, and then it grew to eight. And then all of a sudden I was writing about a third of the coaches in the league. And Bill was on that list. And for all the reasons I know you guys have talked about, whether it's, you know, obviously to start with the win-loss record, you know, what they haven't done without Deshaun Watson, the relationship between Bill and Rick, And then maybe on a slightly deeper level, the relationship between Bill and Rick with the owner. And so obviously you factor all those things in. You know, we know what we've heard over the years about maybe Bill and Rick not seeing eye to eye on some stuff. And, you know, that's all well-worn territory. And I guess it just comes down to how much credit or how much, you know, blame do you place on O'Brien for the losses given the heavy personnel losses they've suffered. And it's been up there among the top, I would say, five or six teams in the NFL, quarterback, pass rusher, you know, other elements along the way. And how much of it is the roster that Rick built in the scouting department? How much of it is the coaching? And it's tough to sort out. I mean, I think when you heard Bill O'Brien kind of say some things that maybe were a little bit out of character as far as maybe campaigning for his job a little bit, that's sort of a good indication that he is a little bit worried about what's going on.
Eric, which quarterback hurt their team the most yesterday? We saw a couple of plays by quarterbacks that didn't go well. Ben Roethlisberger with the interception at the end of the game. You saw Carr with the fumble and the touchback. Which one hurts the most and to which team?
Yeah, I mean, I would still go with Roethlisberger. Look, I mean, Derek Carr's not had a good season. It's, you know, it's easy to say that, you know, he's had a tough run here after signing the deal. A lot more was expected of him. Maybe it's the new OC and all that. I mean, he's just trying to make a play. And is that rule crazy where you fumble it out of bounds at the one-inch line, it's your ball sitting there waiting for you in first and goal? Or you fumble it through the end zone and it's the other team's ball in the 20? That, to me, that rule has never made sense to me. I've talked about this for decades, you know. But so, yes, you have to know the rule. You've got to be safe with the ball as you get closer to the end zone, all that stuff. However, you know, I don't blame him in a desperate situation trying to do what he did. They're scratching their way into the playoffs or trying to. They lost the ball. It's a tough play. With Roethlisberger, there just seemed to be so much chaos there. They still had a chance to tie the game and go to overtime. They could have sort of stepped back and taken the time. It sounded like there was maybe some confusion over who said what, but Ben made it pretty clear. He got a call from the sideline to throw it up there. So I do blame him to a certain degree. Sounds like he was also kind of hinting his receiver maybe didn't do exactly what he wanted to do, Eli Rogers. So that said, Bennett played a brilliant game up to then, and he just sort of lost his head there for a moment.
Yeah, it's interesting because they said Antonio Brown, if he hadn't gotten hurt, would have been the guy running that route, and it might have been a little differently. But again, it's in the past now. But I ask you this, because of that game, because of the Carolina game and the Devontae Adams hit by Thomas Davis, do you see rules with the competition committee changing next year? Will they finally really address this catch-no-catch issue? And will they address, like college did, with the blindside hits and get to the point where if you do something like that, you're going to be ejected?
Yeah, I think there has been enough talk about a modified version of the targeting rule in college. And, you know, look, I turn on Twitter on a Saturday and I see the groaning, and, you know, it obviously is enforced to maybe a greater degree in college than it would be in the NFL if that were the case. We assume, we don't know, but yeah, I could see that being more likely. The catch, no catch thing, I think the NFL has shot themselves in the foot. I mean, ever since what, Bert Emanuel in early 2000, the 99 season. This has been almost a 20-year debate, and we can, off the top of our heads, rattle off 10, 12, 15 instances where, look, the rule may have been interpreted correctly, but it's such an arcanely written rule, and it's so hard to sort of grasp that, hey, even if it's interpreted correctly, it doesn't mean the rule is a good one. So They could try to tweak it. They could try to clear it up. They could try to change it. I don't think they will, though. I feel like this has gone through the spin cycle every couple of years, and they just sort of shrug and say, well, we'll just try to enforce it better, get more camera angles, more people involved, whatever. And it never ends up really getting fixed. So more likely to me would be the hit, because there still seems to be a different level of outrage against some of those things than maybe there are with the catches.
Who do you think's the most for real right now, seeing how this shapes up? I mean, you've got teams like the Vikings and the Rams and the Patriots. I mean, what are the teams that people should take, you know, that this is a team that could go all the way? Give me two or three that you think.
If Antonio Brown's healthy, I still think the Steelers have a chance. You know, they were pretty darn close to winning that game. They outplayed the Patriots for most of the game yesterday, and so even if it were in Foxborough, I'd give them a chance. I'd give New England a chance because they've got Brady, and if they've got Gronk, and then somehow get a little healthier on defense, because that unit scares me. I don't like the way they're playing overall. Then, yeah, you got to give them a chance. I would throw the Jaguars in there. I mean, I know everyone hates Blake Bortles. I know, you know, he's played some pretty good football of late. I think there's at least enough of a dominant defense in a run game to kind of help buttress that a little bit. I mean, their defense statistically is on par with what the 15 Broncos did and what the 13 Seahawks did. So with that alone, you would think if they dominated on that side of the ball, you never know. You can't rule them out as a contender. And then, like you said, the suspects in the NFC side, Vikings, Rams, Saints, Panthers, even with all the craziness with the ownership, I think they can kind of tune that out. You got Cam Newton, you got a defense. So I think there's obviously a better chance just in terms of the number of contenders on the NFC side of things. The Falcons are right in if they win it tonight. There just seems to be a little bit more depth on that side of the ledger.
Let me throw this one at you because it will obviously cause a stir in this town. But realistically, from an outsider looking in, with all of the injuries of J.J. Watt and with his contract status and the amount of money he's going to make next year, would it surprise you if the Texans would cut J.J. Watt?
And I guess no, in this day and age where we've seen a lot of players who are beloved in their NFL city and the kind of player that you expect to sort of, you know, spend their life with one team or, you know, come close to doing that. Yeah, I mean, it happens, you know, and it happens more often these days. It wouldn't be the most stunning thing in the world. Would it still be a surprise after everything he's meant to Houston, especially this year, you know, and, you know, the hurricane, the way he went down, everything, and just, you know he's up at 4 a.m. doing his thing and trying to work his way back to be a dominant player again, or at least a player who can be out there for 16 games or something close to it. But it would still surprise me on some level. Obviously, if the front office changes, if there's some mandate from ownership, they've got to, you know, shed salary or do this or that, it would be more likely. But yeah, I guess I would still be a little bit surprised if it actually happened.
Eric, there's a team out in the Bay Area playing pretty well, and I'm not talking about the Raiders. Are the Niners for real? Four out of their last five, three in a row?
Oh man, the Jimmy Garoppolo sensation. I was thinking Brady would probably be his presenter at the Hall of Fame, you know, like if he ever, you know, if and when he gets there, right? Yeah. I think this is going to be one of those stories that we're probably going to be sick of by the offseason, everybody doing the, you know, Garoppolo story and how the Niners and Kyle Shanahan are going to be the surprise team next year. It feels too obvious at this point, but you can't argue what he's done to that team. You know, they've got really Marquise Goodwin at receiver and Trent Taylor, a fifth-round pick, a little guy from La Tech. I mean, and he's making them look good. And the offensive line is firing off. And the defense, which was horrible not too long ago, is at least holding teams to field goals, being competitive. There's a fire out there you don't normally see for a team that was mathematically eliminated like a month ago. So I give them a ton of credit. They always knew this season was going to be what it was, which was a, you know, ground zero foundation starting deal, and let's just find as many good competitive football players. You look at the number of undrafted guys they have on their roster, it's pretty impressive. So what they're building is very exciting, and they will be that chic sleeper team heading into next year, especially with the Seahawks kind of, you know, in that shaky part of their existence right now.
Well, and I'm sure losing to the Jags and the Rams over their last 2 weeks will probably help suppress some of the talk that could happen over the offseason as well.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what's so fun is when you can start sort of seeing these storylines develop in, like, December, and you kind of brace yourself. Okay, I can deal with that for the next 8 months, but it's coming. That's what happens.
Eric, we know you're busy. We appreciate you spending some time with us. If you want to follow him, he's a great follow on Twitter, at Eric_Edholm, E-D-H-O-L-M. And, of course, follow his column as he writes for Pro Football Weekly. Eric, have a great week. We appreciate you stopping in.
Thank you, fellas. See you.
There you go. Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly. Always good stuff. Great get, Nick, as we love his insight. It's good to get an outsider's perspective on what we're looking at here in the city of Houston as well. So, Clarence and John, we appreciate you holding. We're going to get to you next right out of the break, and then we're going to continue to roll on. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Can never go wrong with the musical genius that is Stevie Wonder. It's a good tune right there.
I would agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
No doubt. I got them all. I got music in my mind, Thoughts from the Music Aquarium. I got all the Stevie Wonder.
Nice.
We've had some phone callers that have been waiting patiently, including one that got another victory yesterday. So without a doubt, we will get to Clarence for Clarence first as a regular usual suspect. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? How y'all doing?
What up?
What's up, man?
Nothing. Enjoyed a great game yesterday. I have to give it to the Jets. They will probably be a team if they get their quarterback situation together. Their defense is top-notch. They played hard. They played well. You got to wonder about those two safety that you have back there. There are some good guys on that defensive side of the ball.
Well, what about the rookie safety from LSU? Is a big hitter. They love that kid, and he was a high pick.
Man, he was laying the wood down. Reminded me of John Lynch back in the days, how hard he was hitting.
So he's the real deal.
Yes, he very much is.
Okay.
Now that we got all the pleasantries out the way.
Yes.
You know, I had to chime in about this catch, no catch thing. Barry.
Mm-hmm.
You're my brother from another mother. You knew exactly what I was saying when I was saying it about this whole football move thing. He catches the ball. Mm-hmm. Not only does he catch it and turn, before he turns, he pulls the ball in, then turns, then stretch. At that point, that should have been a dead play. That should be a touchdown. The Steelers should have won that game. That was only a mute point about when the ball hit the ground. He already broke the plane and made a football move.
I'm with you, man. I think it's silly. I don't understand why it's so hard for them not to understand that.
And another thing about this whole catch and no catch rule. Okay, in the fourth quarter of the Saints game, Breeze threw to Michael Thomas in the back of the end zone. He put one foot in. His heel touched the inbound of the touchdown, and his toes touched outbound, and he called that not a touchdown and an incomplete pass.
Now, at the same time, or the heel first?
Heel first.
Okay.
Heel first, then the toes touch out of bounds. Now, why is it that you can drag your toes inbound and it's called a catch, but your heel can touch inbounds when the other foot's inbounds, and when your toes touch out of bounds, they call it not a catch? I'm just wondering about that, guys.
You know, it's because they hate the Saints.
So the toes were raised. Like, I always go to the half circle in basketball, and they say that, you know, if your toes aren't touching the floor, that you're okay. But if the toes tap down inside the circle, then you're inside the circle. It sounds to me like if the heel's down, that the toes were in the air, that should be okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It should be okay. If If you have 1 foot inbounds and the heel touches inbound, that should be a touchdown.
But if the toes do continue to touch, can you continue on and touch the ground out, then your whole foot wasn't in. It's weird.
I don't know.
But your toes are okay.
Appreciate the call, Clarence. I think it's, I don't know. I don't remember that particular play, but I would want to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad at least one person sees it like I see it.
No doubt about it. All right, John, Aaron, you guys are going to be next as we continue to roll on. You guys want to talk about the calls or call, as the case may be, the one that's more important than most. So we've got plenty to get to. 2 hours in the books. The show's flown by. 1 hour still to go of The Usual Suspects. So don't go anywhere. And if you want to join us, please do right here on ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.